gone fishing. There's a sign upon your door.
Pops, don't blab it around, will you?
Gone fishing.
Keep it shady. I got me a big one staked out.
You ain't working anymore.
I don't have to work. I got me a piece of Gary.
Cows need milking in the barn.
I have the twins on that detail. Each take a side.
But you just don't give a darn.
Give them 4 bits of cow and hand lotion.
You just never seem to learn.
Man, you taught me.
You ain't got no ambition.
You're convincing me.
Gone fishing. Got your hound dog by your side.
That's old Cindy Lou going with me.
Gone fishing. Fleas are biting at his hide.
Get away from me, boys. You bother me. Folks won't find us now because Mr. Satch and Mr. Cross, we gone fishing. Instead of just a wishing,
bop a baby, bop a baby, boy. Oh, yeah.
Time to talk fishing with Jeff Sundin, our early bird fishing guide. Morning, Jeff.
Good morning. I am so lucky to be able to talk to you.
Because you got power?
Might have had to walk outside and climb up the cell tower to get a signal. We have our little neighborhood here. We got a little hole in the service. And if we don't have our Wi-Fi on, I can't talk on my phone.
Oh.
It's kind of just a quirky thing. And we've been out of electricity for a couple of days. So luckily it came on yesterday and we're able to recover a little bit now.
So there's nothing better than having a big, nice walleye on the line. Very exciting. But there was nothing more exciting than when if you were around when the power went on. Boom. It's like, oh, my gosh, it happened yesterday.
Yeah, it was kind of nice. I was, unfortunately, I wasn't doing either one of those things at the time. I wasn't reeling in a big walleye. And I wasn't around to watch the power come back on. I was driving from the first lake that we tried, which was a total dud. We didn't catch anything, and we were going cross country and going to try lake number two. And on my way, I texted my neighbor just in case there was any good news, and he said the power had just come back on. So I got a minimum amount of impact out of that.
So, Jeff, I know we're from Minnesota. We're hardy. We're tough. Resilient. Does this affect you and taking people out fishing, these kind of conditions with the smoke, or just do it?
Yeah, well, for me, it's just kind of do it. You know, sometimes there's days when it just happened a couple days ago. I have certain times when people that are coming to fish with me are like longtime customers, old friends, really nice couples that are engaging and happy to be with, and you want to do a great job, right? And then something comes along environmentally, like a big storm or whatever, and it makes it just impossible to have your best day, no matter what you want to do. You could still pull something out of a hat once in a while and be able to catch some fish, but you're not going to have your greatest day. So there are days that I feel bad about that sort of thing, and it does impact. I guess it probably impacts how I approach the fishing trip, you know, altogether. But without somebody looking at me and telling me what it is, I can't probably put my own finger on it, because who looks in the mirror every 5 minutes to see what you're doing,
no
right?
No kidding.
Well, Jeff, earlier this week on Phenology, that was done by cell phone, but not on the because of the storms, John was talking about that he's seeing signs of fall. Are you seeing it out on the lakes?
It's no matter whether you can believe it or not, as warm as the weather is and as midsummery looking as it is, the fish are already starting to show up in, you know, like mid-August places where, you know, apparently there's just a certain number of growing days or a certain amount of days in any given seasonal cycle. And once that runs its course, the fish or the wildlife or the trees or anything else just move into the next cycle. And even if when you can't explain it, but yes, I'm seeing it too. The the transition. We talked last week about the panfish and being able to get out on the weed line, and I said you better do it pretty quick because it's not going to keep on going forever. And this already has happened to me now. This day before yesterday, I went to a lake where we should have had, based on the water temperature, it was like almost 80 degrees, just super warm water. And just based on that alone, there should have been sunfish and bass and perch and every kind of fish in the lake, and they should have been pestering us all afternoon. You know, we should have just thrown the spinner in the lake, dragged it down the weed line a few feet, and had something bite. And some combination of the storm and just the fish moving into different patterns, the kind of the cycle had been broken. What we had been seeing for a few weeks didn't really happen. And the reason that I think it was a transition rather than just the effects of a storm is that fish that we have not been catching recently throughout the summer, crappie fishing has really not been that great unless you're up super early in the morning or late in the evening. Daytime crappie fishing has been sluggish at best. And all of a sudden, those bluegills and bass and everything that had been keeping us busy before, they were gone. But voila, what were we catching instead was crappies. And so they're just as temperamental as every other fish. If it was the effects of the storm or the weather change, they would have been equally as affected. So I think that was a signal that the fish had just moved from one place to the next. And I'm seeing some of those same things on Winnie. The fish are starting to show up on the flats in, you know, water depths of, let's say, 10 to 16 feet, which is a sign that they're moving back. They go towards the center of the lake in the middle of the summer, and then as fall comes, they have to get back onto the shoreline somehow. So they start crossing these big expanses of flat water, and it can get to be needle in a haystack looking for them because there's so much territory that they have to cover. And that's why the transition, you know, from summer to fall, there's a little gap where the action really isn't all that good. And it's not because the fish aren't biting, it's because they're on the move from one area to the other, and anglers are not able to find concentrations of them just yet. So that, in my mind, was another little signal that fall was just around the corner.
So if I'm going out bass fishing today as I'm a beginner, what the heck should I be doing?
Here's the simplest thing in the world. This is coming. The reason that I'm bringing this up is because the bass are kind of on fire right now. But you have to kind of get up around the bulrushes and the heavy cover to find them. It doesn't take much fancy equipment, just about anything that you've got laying around. 8-pound test, that's plenty good. Action rod or medium heavy. If it's a little too heavy for walleye fishing and you've had it laying in the garage for a while wondering what to do with it, that's probably the one that you need for this job. And about a number one knot, just a plain hook. You just tie a simple plain hook on there. You grab yourself a 6-inch plastic worm. I like the Yum Dingers. It's a product that's available at most of the stores locally. Bemidji's got them. Grand Rapids has them. Some of the big box stores sell them. It's an inexpensive, you know, couple bucks for a 10-pack of worms. You get some of these little zip ties, and you wrap a zip tie around that the center of that worm so that you've got a place to put your little hook, and you just hook that hook into the zip tie so that it doesn't come out of the worm very easily. Throw that plastic worm up along the edge of the bulrushes. No weight, just the worm and this number one eye hook. Let that thing kind of settle. The longer you let it settle, the better. You know, kind of let it flicker and flutter around bulrushes or on the edge of the lily pads. Shake your rod tip a couple of times and just wait for the fish to come and find you. And not only will the bass find it, but you'll also encounter quite a few panfish while you're doing that too. So it's not, it's a great way to catch bass, but it's also not a bad way to find where the schools of sunfish are hiding.
All right. Well, before we go, Jeff, let's talk a little bit about walleyes and what you're seeing out there.
Well, like I said, they're starting to move up on the flats. We've heard a lot of stories about these, the 2018 year class, this mega year class that occurred on Winnebagoche. And those fish now string just kind of like ideal keeper size. If you if you're fishing Winnie, you could probably set your standards right now. Don't save any fish unless they're on the north side of 14 inches, and you would be able to gather some 14 to 15 inch fish. And that's, you know, we've talked a lot about that, and it's exciting news. But now that we're starting to get into these late summer fall patterns, I'm noticing that that same 2018 year class of fish, it didn't just happen on Winnebagoche. They were showing up on a lot of other lakes in the area too. And luckily for me, our little move yesterday afternoon, we went to one of those lakes and encountered quite a lot of 13 and a half to 14. We had a couple of fish that were 15 to 16, but there was very, very large numbers of those 13 and a half to 14 inch fish. And that's that same 2018 year class. What everybody kind of put their finger on Winnie, that was a high water spring. And, you know, they're kind of cautiously optimistic that they've come up with a secret formula here. If you keep the water level higher in the springtime, that you'll get a better class of fish. So the lakes that I'm noticing this same kind of bumper crop of 2018 are those same kind of lakes. They can be much smaller than Winnie, obviously, but lakes that are fed by rivers so that the water comes up and down that fluctuating water level, and then 2018 year class, due to the high water levels, would have showed up on a lot of these lakes. And it makes sense when you think about it. It's kind of they all seem to be doing the same thing at the same time. So I'll probably say that's my working theory, is that we river-fed lakes, take a lake like Bowstring, for example, or Round Lake north of Deer River, any other lakes that have got a significant river system connected to them, and the fish can travel back and forth to the spawning grounds, you know, when that water gets high like that. I think those would all be good to put on a list and start watching now towards fall.
So, Jeff, on this heat index, or this, whatever they call it, smog index.
Air quality index.
Air quality index. The top thing says take it easy and listen to your body. And one more thing, when you're out on the lake today, let's have a moment of silence for Mr. Ron Popeil, pocket fisherman, passed away.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You remember the pocket fisherman?
If I dug far enough into the archives, I could probably produce one for you.
Well,
yeah, I fell for that.
that's disrespectful to Ron.
We've all got this whiskey light. Yeah, be careful out there with that air, Jeff, and glad your power's back. We'll check in next week.
We'll do our best. Thank you.
Thanks. You can find Jeff's fishing reports and information he talks about here at jeffsunden.com.